Call the meeting to order, City of University Heights, Iowa City Council meeting. Today is the first meeting of the year, 2026, January 13. Welcome, everybody. I rearranged the room a little bit for a fresh start, and we have all five council present and staff. And first order of business is swearing in of mayor and city council, and Steve's going to do that for us.
I have my cheat sheet, I forgot. Okay, well, congratulations on your election. And you all want to stand up? Should we stand up?
And my goodness, again.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Anyone mind if I take a couple pictures while you're doing this?
No. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Eddie Schroeder,
do solemnly swear,
do solemnly swear,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the State of Iowa,
and the Constitution of the State of Iowa,
and that I will faithfully and impartially,
and that I will faithfully and impartially,
to the best of my ability,
to the best of my ability,
discharge all the duties,
discharge
of the office of councilperson, mayor.
The office of councilperson.
In University Heights, Johnson County, Iowa.
University Heights, Johnson County, Iowa.
As now or hereafter required by law.
As now or hereafter required by law.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mackenzie has to do that at every.
Very good.
I'll have it memorized.
Totally amazing, Nick. I don't know.
So, the first order of business is approval of minutes, and they were circulated by Mike for December 9th, 2025. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. And we have some public here tonight. We have public on Zoom. Pat Yagi's here and Mandy Remington's here from the Board of Super. Do you want to say a few words, Mandy? Thank you.
Thank you. Just introducing myself. I'm Mandy Remington, Johnson County Supervisor. We just had our organizational meeting and I'm liaison for University Heights for this calendar year. So I'll be at your meetings whenever I'm able, but feel free to reach out at any point in time if you need anything from the board in between. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. Okay, is there any other public that want to speak tonight? I know there's one on Zoom. And okay.
I don't think Pat does.
Pat, did you want to speak tonight? Okay, I don't. She's mm-hmm. still on. So that's okay.
You ever muted?
I think she'd let us know. So we'll go on to Mayor's report. And the first order of business is John Olson is here tonight on Zoom, and he just finished the annual city examination report. Welcome, John. Thank you for attending.
Oh, you're welcome. Can everybody hear me?
It's not real loud, John, so feel free to shout.
Good thing I'm the only one in the office here. If you can't hear me, just let me know.
Well, you're pretty quiet. Is there some way to?
We were playing with that earlier.
That's it.
I'm speaking right up to my microphones here.
John,
does that help? Are we good to go?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. As Mayor mentioned, I'm John Olson with Kronlogge & Olson PC, and we did the annual examination of the City of University Heights. Purpose of the examination is to perform a check on the processes within the city rather than focusing on the receipts, disbursements, and results. This is not a full audit that has been performed, This is an examination of the City of University Heights, looking at processes the Auditor of State requires. And unlike an audit, there is no materiality level. If we see any noncompliance, we're required to report a comment. Our report, which is in your agenda packet, it's a 5-page report. It includes a listing of the city officials. It has our independent auditor's report on applying agreed upon procedures. And this provides no opinion or assurance on the city operations. And it provides detail of the procedures that we performed. The last page of the report is our detailed findings and recommendations. All these, both comments are minor issues. The first one is segregation of duties, which this one will always be a comment given your staff size. And I know you guys are doing what you can, but with the limited number of people that you have, we can't get around the segregation of duties. And your other comment was the budget was exceeded in public safety, debt service, and capital project functions. Compared to last year, we eliminated probably 3 or 4 comments. So the city is doing a good job. I would like to thank the city personnel for their assistance during our remote examination. Any questions?
I guess just with the segregation of duties, last time you spoke, I think we, added Lori to help out, be there.
Right, Tim here.
Are there any other, obvious steps that you see that we could take?
There's nothing really specific. And as I was looking through the internal control questionnaire that got filled out, I see John's got a lot of duties, which he is the treasurer. So I don't know really how else to put it. You got one person in charge of, and maybe he doesn't do everything, but he's in charge of the accounting. And you guys are splitting, you're doing deposits, opening mail, and various things like that, but it's still one or two people have control over the whole process. And
so we kind of have 4. Do you see anything? Because we have Troy, Mike, Lori, John. Do you see any way that we could, I'm not trying to throw things, into too much of a tailspin. I just didn't know if you saw any ways we could divide duties a little bit among those people differently. So opening mail is a big deal, for example. Should we have, Mike, do you open mail?
I open mail.
And Troy, do you play a role that, or could you?
I could. I only rarely collect mail when Mike's going to be gone for an extended period of time. And all I do is route it to the appropriate mailbox. I don't open city correspondence.
Do you see any, way that we could add a person to, help us out a little bit on that?
I want to kind of back up a little bit. You guys are doing a lot more segregation than a lot of small entities, small cities. But it's still that same thing that these smaller cities, I don't know if you've paid attention, but the small cities and small organizations with very few people in charge of the accounting is that's where all the bad stuff happens. And
Right.
you guys are, you're doing what you can. You're, I guess nothing specific that pops out. And I know you're a small city. I know each one of you has your own duties, but it's, I do quite a few small cities, and there's not one of them that I do not have that comment in, simply
I get it.
because.
I know I every year bring this up. I just want to be sure. If there was something glaring, especially with having the benefit of having Troy, involved, where even if it were a small, even a small task that would help with a little bit of oversight, I think the addition of Lori is good.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know if, yeah, if you saw anything obvious in terms of, if you said even if, he could be receive all receipts or something, even if he's kind of just looking at them and passing them along. I just didn't know if, with your background, if you saw something simple. That's why I just like to push you a little bit on that.
It did. There was nothing major in there. It's just with the staff size that you have, we can deduct pretty good that there's a lack of some lack of segregation of duties. You're doing exactly what you can, but you're not going to be able to segregate everything, simply because you don't have enough people.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any
Any
other
other questions?
questions? I think this is one of our best reports we've ever had, these comments. Steve Kuhl tells me all the time, they're not going to say we're perfect. I mean,
Well, that's probably true, but I do have some that their only comment is segregation of duties. And it's small cities, and you guys did very well this year.
Yeah, I believe so
With
too.
only two comments, that's really good.
Adding staff has really helped us too. Yes, thank
Yep.
you, John.
You're welcome.
Steve, do we vote for acceptance?
We
Don't
need a
we?
simple
And it's
question.
just a,
Yeah.
it's not a roll call, it's just all in favor. Okay. So before the council's acceptance of the annual city examination report for FY25 from Pranalagi and Olson, is there a motion?
So
Motion
moved.
by Nick, second. Second by Lisa. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, and thank you, John.
Thank you. And you guys have a good rest of the year.
Well, thank
You
you.
too. Thank you.
The start to this year, anyway.
I do want to say with John, this is also year two of a 5-year contract we have with Kronlaugie and Olson. That, they've been doing our evaluations and examinations for 15 years, but this is year two of our 5-year contract with them.
Thank you
So.
for pointing that out too. Thank you very much. So we'll go on with Mayor's report. And as Steve circulated to you, that I have two appointees that are a reappointment, and one is Sharon Wrights for Board of Adjustment, and the other is Mary Panther for Zoning Commission. They both have served for a few years, and they're willing to do it again. And we appreciate it. They both have 40 plus years living in University Heights, have a good background. And I didn't appoint anyone yet for Tree Board, as Troy pointed out in his report. And last month, we're going to have the council consider three Tree Board members rather than five, as Troy spoke about. And if we need to add more, depending on council discussion, but I recommend three. I think that's a good number. And with Troy being the city administrator and attending the meetings, it's worked out very well, because they'll lots of times have questions for the city. And Troy's very capable of answering all of them. So I have consideration of resolution number 2601. Is there a motion? Motion by Lisa, second. Second by Nick. Okay, roll call vote.
Wire.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Carries 5-0.
And I also want to thank Lisa Haverkamp for her many years serving on the tree board. I thanked her in an email too, as well as David Conrads for his service. He had to resign early because he's busy with a lot of other volunteer committees, and we appreciate both. The city appreciates both of their work on the tree board. And so let me see. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to talk about just briefly is every year I've done an MVP. And once again, my MVP, because I'm a big sports fan, so I call them MVPs, is, of course, Carol Ann and Scott Christensen for their work on the city garden. And, you know, it's just all total with all done. And just so you know, Mandy, that's the beautiful garden there in front of Stella.
Okay.
You know how beautiful that is every year. Well, it's their volunteer residents that do all that work, and they're totally financed by donations. And so it's wonderful all they've done for the city. And I think that's everything, unless anybody has questions for me. Oh, I was just going to say, all the committees are the same. You know, I didn't change anybody's committee than it was last month. And, you know, McKenzie's on community protection, and Nick is finance committee and ECOG. And Lisa is e-government, and Tim Schroeder is mayor pro tem and building, zoning, and sanitation, and also the rep for Think Iowa City, Iowa City Coralville Visitors Bureau Board of Directors, serving as the city representative. And Doug Swales is streets and sidewalks. There we go. So thanks, everyone. And so we'll go. I think I covered everything. We'll go to legal report. Steve?
I don't have a whole lot to add to my report. I think there's some action items, and I don't know if you want to handle those now
yeah.
or when you want to do those. So I sent around the conflicts of interest form. Trust everybody received that. Make sure you sign that. Get that to Mike or to Troy. The GO borrowing. So resolution 2602 sets January 27, 2026 as the auction date that Spear Financial will on which Spear Financial will conduct auction of the general obligation bonds. And 2602 adopts what's called a POS, which is the intention with respect to the bond financing, and also provides that the city will meet on January 27 or to ratify that auction. So 2602 just is the next step in this process that you started back in November, December to undertake this financing. And that's
thank you. Troy, did you want to add anything? Because it's also in your report.
Yes, there were two policies when we dealt with through our financial institutions that are helping with this. And one of them was the post-issuance compliance policy that I believe that's 2603, I believe, which is one of these, that as part of that, it has to do with tax exemption status, as I understand it, in large part. While the city had something on file way back in 2012, in discussion with our financial assistance, the people who were helping us with this, they thought it would be prudent to adopt a new one. So that will be 2603, but that is what that policy is. And it relates to our ability to move forward with 2602 and to sell the bonds. One other policy that they talked about was a preliminary, I'm sorry, was a continuing disclosure policy. I mentioned this in case any of you were aware of it and wondered what happened with that. Again, in discussion with Spear Financial, with Maggie in particular, as our disclosure agent, she did not feel that was necessary. That kicks in, as I understand it, with bonding, when bonding amounts exceed $10 million, and we're not anywhere close to that. We still have duty to disclose certain events, but Spear Financial will disclose those for us if they ever come into play. So we will not be visiting that tonight as part of this process.
Okay, thank you. So as Steve and Troy said, the first one is consideration of resolution number 2602. First, we'll have a motion and second and any discussion. Is there a motion? Mm-hmm. Motion by Lisa. Is there a second by McKenzie? Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Carried 5-0.
And then we thank you. Then we'll have consideration of resolution 2603. And that's what Troy just explained and Steve wrote in his report. So is there a motion for that?
Somebody.
Motion by Lisa. Second by Tim.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. Okay, roll call vote.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Dwyer?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Carried 5-0.
Thank you. Any questions for Steve?
I would just add one comment on that.
Okay.
The city, I had to verify some information for the offering on a preliminary official statement. It's a 93-page statement. Mm-hmm. I attached it when I sent out, or I included it as the second attachment when I sent out my police report. In discussion with Steve, I mean, Mike and I will work to make sure that is posted so that it is viewable in the public arena. But that is just a statement, basically, again, to verify certain information relative to the financial status of the city so that potential investors and potential buyers of these bonds can have full disclosure, I guess, if you will. So that's what
the bond attorney wanted done, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go to city administrator report.
Thank you. I circulated one earlier today. I just want to touch on a couple things. Item number one, Melrose Avenue Complete Streets Project Update. I neglected to mention that because that Ryan and Tim Greenwood from the city attorney's office met to move for the easement and acquisitions portion of that project. So there has been work within the city, and of course the attorney's working on it all the time, but I should have noted that there in that project. Under Swisher Track Trail Development, I want to take a little bit of time on that. My report last month, I mentioned that Think Iowa City had received a final version of, if you will, of the initial design. And city clerk, Councilor Herbold, and I met with Think Iowa City, with Josh and with Nick, to go over that. Again, this is being put together by Fulton and Make, the design and architectural firm that specializes in trail projects such as this. There was a tentative timeline if the city wished to proceed, and I've included that. That is the fastest that the project could happen. And now I realize the city purchased the property back in 2018. So with the idea that something would go in there, and it's been now, it's been now 8 years. But now, to me anyway, it kind of seems like we're moving rapidly based on previous council discussions and availability of some funds that can be spent towards this, such as lost funds, hotel motel tax, maybe the availability of some grant money. I need direction from council, but we, as part of this, we had it broken up into a phased project in case council wanted to proceed with it in up to four distinct phases. The problem with, or the downside to doing it in a phased project is you have an overlap of costs. You know, you bring in construction into a 1 year, and then you pull out that crew, and then you bring that crew back in the next year. So right now, the preliminary estimate on total cost for the project was approximately $853,000. That was in the end of 2025 when we were to that point in the projections. Already, just bumping the timeline back into 2026, and if I'm reading the notes, the emails that I received today, already that has inflated by potentially $20,000 as far as estimate of cost. So again, as if we kick this down the road, or if we do it in a phased project, that 853 or that 870 or whatever it is going to be now will potentially be a larger and larger number, much like the Melrose Streets project. You know, the longer it goes into the future, the more costs are just going to go up. If the city were to provide notice to proceed to go Bolton and Mink, and again, the timeline was here in January, and I don't have anything to present to you at this meeting, but if there was interest to do this, I've already talked to the mayor about would she be willing to allow me to put this on the agenda for the January 27 meeting to vote on it and kick it forward so that we can enter into the contract with Bolton and Mink to proceed with this. Project initiation would be January 26th then. There's some design phases, development, construction documents that take us through the spring of this year, with bid letting anticipated in June of this year, and a contract award perhaps as early as summer of this year. Again, right now, moving it forward that quickly, it would be anticipated that the majority of the funds necessary for this would come from the city. And again, potentially those could include use of lost funds and hotel motel tax, among other funding sources. There is potentially some grant funding available. Let me open this up. There's the Community Attraction and Tourism Grant, the CAT grant, that would provide up to 20% of the total cost, so roughly $175,000 money. It would require county funding to kick in, but that is all something that has already been established, that process, through the Board of Supervisors. I think Rod Sullivan is the one that is the focal point for that. Again, these are not automatic, and there would be a community buy-in there, you know, some fundraising. It's not a dollar amount that needs to be raised by the community, but there has to be, as part of a community attraction and tourism grant, there has to be a community buy-in beyond just the city saying, hey, we want to spend city funds on this. But that would be one potential source of grant money. The state rec trails, which is through Iowa Department of Transportation, would be another potential source, and that's up to 75% of the total cost. However, it is my takeaway from talking with Think Iowa City that is a highly competitive grant. And while we could apply for it and cross our fingers and hopefully get some, we really shouldn't count on that. But it would be a potential ask. I also have...
Should you say the amount of what that one would be?
Would be 75%. Up to 75% of the cost. I didn't figure that. Sorry. And then... like we talked about Burr Oak. I think they're a fantastic organization. I don't know how thin they are spread in supporting other community efforts, but this is a project that would be right up there. The Burr Oak is a foundation.
Yeah.
So there are other potential sources that we could also tap into, but we need to, if we want to kind of lock in today's prices and move it forward, we need to decide to do that independent of the grants and then try to get what we can in grant money, if that makes any sense.
And you mentioned donations, right?
Correct. You know, and again, they can be small donations. They can certainly be large donations. We wouldn't turn those away, but it's for the match part or for the community involvement part, mm-hmm. donations, bake sales, donation of in-kind services, you know, labor hours, things like that, all count towards, or all can count towards, some of these various grant proposals. So that's where we are right now in the design process. I think Iowa City has done some amazing work for us up to this point. Nick or Mike, you were both there. I don't know if there's anything you want to add. I guess if this is something that the city is serious about doing, and it is my perception from both the community events that we've held, the open houses, talking with community members, whether it be OUP HOA meetings, but where I've had a chance to interact with people, and just prior council conversations on this, I think this is something that the community and the council have expressed an interest in doing. And while it will cost the city some money, obviously it will cost some city some money, it falls squarely in what the city is allowed to use. I believe lost funds and hotel motel back tax towards. So I think it's a good investment. It got brought up today at the Regional Trails and Bicycle Committee meeting. Again, I think there is excitement about this, not just in the community, but from in the larger Iowa City community too.
Yeah, I guess what I would add, I mean, number one, Josh Schamberger has been communicating with the engineering company, Bolton Mason, about kind of next steps. That could include doing a portion of it or doing it all at once, like Troy pointed out. The engineering company who's already worked on it would want a fee of around $100,000, right, to do all of it, to do the planning for all of it. So that would seem to be the first decision, in a sense. Are we going to ask them to do a final design on everything? Or
phases?
All four phases, or do we want to do certain phases? Like one phase is the kind of the concrete trail north of OUP North. Then there's the one down, you know, Sunset. And then there's one kind of over by the commuter a lot more. And then kind of the last area. And, you know, I talked to Think Iowa City. I have been corresponding with them a little bit about, you know, the efficiencies of it, like Troy pointed out. And I was kind of wondering, you know, like maybe we do some of the, you know, some of the lower cost ones to get it going, kind of like we had talked about in the past, to get more interest and then build from there. But yeah, construction costs increasing, and then also just kind of the grants that CAD grant, which seemed to be the most likely, is the last 20%, right? So you need to have like the first portion funded, and then they'll come in, I think, and do the last, is that your memory of the last 20%?
Yes.
So if we do a piecemeal, that's going to be that grant, which is the highest probability grant, it's going to be a lower chance that we get as much from that. So that's one timing piece. The other timing piece with the state rec and trails grant through the Iowa DOT is the deadline for that is July 1st. And so I don't know if we should send out the links to everybody, you know, if people want to Google it, but you can kind of see what received grants and what didn't. And there's a lot of people who didn't. There's some that did. I think I wouldn't be the expert to know if we have a good chance of getting that or not. But with, you know, you see what some of those do get, and it's a big percentage, you know, for some of them.
To Nick's point, and I should have clarified that, I kept talking about the estimated total cost of the project. What would need to happen, what we would initially enter into, is the contract with Bolton and Menk, the design come to finalize that, which is the roughly $100,000 portion of the final design. It wouldn't go out until bid, or to bid, like I said, until later in the year. Bid letting, again, at the earliest would be June. So we wouldn't have those construction costs, obviously, until we actually put shovels in the ground and started construction.
And I think they also said that the CAT grants need to be decided upon before there's shovels in the ground.
Correct.
So it's really, I mean, there's just a lot of factors about like urgency, like how quickly we want to move it along. How much do we want to try to wait and see if we can get some of this grant money? Do we want to do phases or not? And I guess my sense from, I like to listen, I think Iowa City says, you know, because they've done this so many times to kind of get their sense of it. And I think their sense is generally probably better off if you do it all at once. You know, so at least get the engineering, you know, people going, then get it out to bid, kind of see where you're at that point. If it's something at that point where you just want to, you know, plow forward and try to get the last 20%, you know, through the CAT grant, you know, it'd be a lot of city money. If you want to wait a year, potentially, you'd have a chance at maybe a portion of the state rec and trails grant. And then there are other miscellaneous grants they talked about, like Trey had referenced, that may or may not be sizable. Those are kind of the ones they thought were highest probability and biggest. So, yeah, I don't know what council thinks about that in terms of breaking it up, timeline, that sort of thing.
And as far as the legal paperwork on it, I didn't put it on. I just received that at a meeting this morning, actually. I received it before then, but we reviewed it. Set this morning, yes, but I do have that. So if council did want to move forward with it, I could send that on over to Steve for review. But that part is done to enter, or is it's not like they would have to draft the language, or we have that tentative agreement that has been presented to us that we would enter into. It would just need to be reviewed by city legal and signed off on. So if, again, depending on what council discussion is on this and council desire, and if the mayor would allow me to put, if the council wishes to move it forward and the mayor would allow me to put it on the agenda, if that the January 27 agenda, and if that in turn allows city attorney enough time to have it reviewed, then that would be the soonest we could move it on, and it would fit the best case timeline that I put in my report. So I guess I would welcome council discussion and input and guidance on this.
A couple of things.
Well, as you both say in your report and what you say it too is, you know, pushing it down keeps increasing the price. And I wonder how that weighs the money that we could get. I think that's something for council to consider too, as you both say. And really, Josh and the crew, Nick and the crew there, they would help us tremendously to get funding if there was any. And
well, that's a good point. The engineering company had, I think, an extra 20-something thousand that they would have charged us if Think Iowa City wasn't going to take on some of the grant. And Mike, I think, maybe helping out with some of the grant work.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's all Mike.
No, they'll help. It won't just be me.
I'm happy to help too much.
Good.
I have that background.
Thank you for getting some.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I know.
I'm happy to help us.
I was going to be talking to you afterward.
No. I like the idea of just getting it moving and getting going. And I, just having worked with Josh and his team in the past, I would trust what they're advising.
I think you start breaking this project up, you're going to add 20 to 30% and offset anything you're going to get in grants potentially. So you should proceed, but we should be clear about the what's project cost and what's construction cost. Is the project cost 852.5? That inclusive of design fees?
I
is that separate?
I can provide that to you either prior to. I don't have that information breakdown.
That's something that gets confusing on every project. Is what is complete project cost versus construction cost?
Right. I took it to be complete project cost, but I am not familiar enough with it, Tim, to be 100% confident that that you're not right, that they weren't broken out into two separate things. So, Nick, can you tell about 950
there? So, I don't have that packet from today. I don't know who ended. I think they ended up.
It's in my office.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I didn't have it electronically, so I can't look it up.
But we should, on the 27th, if we're going to vote on it, then everybody should be clear on that. But still, even if they are going to bid it as one package, they could still have a deduct alternate if the bids come in high. So you get most other than have a plan B. I would recommend going ahead.
I just want to add too that since this went in front of the Board of Regents on their agenda, Troy did a lot of good work in talking to the press, and people in the greater community here have showed a lot of enthusiasm about what we're proceeding with and very excited about it. And that's been very helpful. I think it probably was more attention because they were voting for an Iowa State president, but it helped us get the word out to people. People were calling, the press was calling, and I've heard a lot of positive things about it, and I'm sure you have too. And
I do see the professional design and engineering fees in the A52 for the draft, like an older draft,
right,
that I had, was the A32, which is now the additional 20.
So the A52 reflects that, because I was adding the additional 20 to the A52 since I just got that. I'm not sure, but I know there was a $20,000 increase, and I took it that it was A52, wherever that number came from, was all inclusive, but I said I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, subject to bid, what the bids come back at. And they also have worked on the ones in the area with it's kind of the usual suspects, basically. And so I think they probably have a pretty good guess, but who knows? I mean, there could be another company that comes in and thinks they can do it more efficiently, but it'd also be a little bit of maybe potentially council interviewing the companies to see who's, we're getting their at least their resume to see if they're really able to do a good job.
So. And that would all be part of the bid selection process if council ordered to go ahead, but it's a unique enough project that it's not the same as somebody who is used to putting down, I don't know, a sidewalk through a park. There are other considerations. So we will rely on Bolton Mink and Think Iowa City to make sure that we are selecting somebody who hopefully is the low bid, but is also somebody who we know can do the work, so that we're not having to redo the work. But that's all later in the process.
Oh, Ryan, you wanted to see.
Yeah, I had one question, if I may. What's the construction timeline look like? Have they told you an estimated duration of construction?
So I was asking about that in terms of when we were doing some of the work just to get the trails going. We saved a lot of money by getting them in there earlier in the year because the invasives hadn't grown up. So I was asking a little bit about that. And I guess I almost interpreted it as that timeline they gave us wasn't necessarily best case if we really wanted to expedite things, because a lot of the companies who build the trails are kind of looking to fill out their schedule right now, which maybe you have a sense of that with the work you do. So the answer is it kind of depends, in terms of when they can get going, when the snow, if there's snow on the ground, when they want to get out and get going with the final engineering plans. There were just a lot of what ifs, I guess. So, probably not surprising.
I discussed it a little bit with them also. I was surprised. I've never heard a firm date, because it was dependent on, again, who can bid, who's available. To Nick's point, I can't remember what his name is, but from Bolton Mink said, we can do some of these steps concurrently so that maybe we can start getting interest in doing this before everybody's calendar's full. But I heard summer of next year as far as completion. So I don't know if you heard that also, but at one point I heard that. The other consideration that I had that I'm not sure, you know, especially you, Ryan, know that we typically deal with football considerations, and I'm not sure construction of this project would be impacted by football at all. So we wouldn't have some of the same constraints that we do on other things that we do in the city.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So like backyard trails with the Ken Barker, who had also consulted on the initial design, seems to be like, I don't think they know that they're going to obviously win the bid, but they, I think, have it on their radar enough where they might be kind of, you know, we really did want to expedite it for this year. My sense is there's a possibility if that's really what the council wanted to do. But I think that would take a very clear effort and, you know, may leave some grant money on the table, you know, if we're really expediting it like that. To Tim's point, I don't know how that nets out in terms of increased costs and efficiencies and all that. If that was something council really wanted to inquire about, we wanted to put it on the January 27th meeting, and then by that point, be ready to see if there's an expedited timeline. We could certainly look into it prior to that meeting. I don't know what council thinks about this summer versus the following summer.
You're talking about start of the construction. This timeline was start of the awards this summer, right?
Right. Correct.
So, yeah. Correct. I would guess if you're going to get a cooperative bidder, they're going to maybe start some work in the fall and finish up in the summer. I don't know if they could get it done.
I heard the whole get an end, get it work, but I heard April at one point, and I heard summer of next year as far as the realistic anticipation of completion. But they did say we can try to move it ahead more quickly.
The other thing we could do is if we have the money earmarked for the full project cost, then if we get some grant money, we can set that money aside that is offset by the grant for long-term maintenance or something like that with the trail system.
There are anticipated annual maintenance costs, I want to say in the upper 30s. And the trail construction is just that, the trail construction. We talked a little bit about invasive species today, but really the trail construction is not about managing the whole property. It is about constructing the trails and the property immediately, the land, the dirt immediately adjacent to the trail. So there will be other work to do in there, ongoing work to do.
Of the two naysayers that were here, all of the people here in support of the project, the one had a concern about these sorts of projects being funded, but the maintenance is never funded. So if we can work that out in the long run.
Again, from a staff perspective, when I look at it, and I know there are other projects that the city has on mind too, but that falls squarely in what some of those restricted, you know, as far as restricted use of hotel, motel, and lost money, that maintenance would fall squarely in allowed uses, as I understand.
That's my concern too, is the funding of the project. You know, as long as we can get grants, donations, whatever, I'm not real crazy about taking anything from our budget that we need for streets and sidewalks as well. So that's the only thing that I have is a concern, I guess. Other than that, I'm quite ready for moving forward on it myself.
All right. Well, I think I heard what I need to hear then. I will share some information with Steve Ballard, and if I have any further questions, I'll get a hold of people that I have to. May I have some agenda space on the 27th meeting there?
Right. Everybody's got that on their calendar at 7 p.m. the 27th of January. That's the day of the
let's hear it.
And then it'll be earlier that day, and then the council will vote that. It should be a 10-minute meeting at most.
Right.
Unless something else happens.
Right. The bond sales portion of it, 10 minutes, and then much discussion or back and forth there is on one of the trails of approval. I will contact, as an aside, I'll contact Maggie at 7 p.m.
Thank you. You had some other things?
Yeah, too. Just quickly, I know I discussed both tree board and citizen advisory board issues last month. I left them on my schedule this month. Basically, I was more or less out of commission for 2 weeks of last month due to holidays. When I came back to the office, Steve was busy with a jury trial. Steve said he'd had limited time to work on it and discuss it. We discussed it. It's not time sensitive, so Steve and I will move that forward for next month. But I left it on the agenda. Steve wasn't here when we talked about it, when I talked about it last month. So if there's any questions about tree board membership in term discussion, again, reducing the number of required tree board members and also reducing the term from 5 to 3 years in an effort to make it less burdensome for people who would be willing to volunteer for that position. Those are suggestions that came from the current tree board membership. And then on the citizens advisory board, just as a reminder, state law changed to prohibit citizens advisory boards on police. You know, we fall outside of that, but we're the only one that falls outside of it. Some communities had to strike their whole ordinance that was related to that. Our citizen advisory board exists as a part of a greater anti-bias policing ordinance. So I do not want to make that go away. I spoke with Kevin Sanders, for those who don't know, the Iowa City chapter president of the NAACP. I met with him earlier this month. And we the community, and Kevin, the NAACP, did some great work in drafting that policy. I just propose stripping out what is now incongruent to what state law says as far as, so removing the citizen police board and those portions of it, but leaving in the ordinance that specifically at a local level prohibits any sort of bias-based policing in a nutshell. So I spoke about that last month, but Steve wasn't here. I wanted to touch on it again in case there were any questions for Steve.
Did you talk to Kevin about it, you said?
Yes.
What did he have to say?
Not much. I mean, he accepted that yes, that is what's happening statewide. We actually bore from that very quickly, Nick, to some other projects, some other things that we could do to keep University Heights and the NAAC partnership alive and moving forward. So he was not shocked by that. He wasn't surprised. And that's not the best way I can characterize it.
Have we utilized the advisory very much?
There has not been a, first of all, there's not been a bias-based policing complaint of any kind since you all passed it. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Well, I guess no, that's true. I was going to say since I came in 2019, we have not received any. And I would hope that you're all familiar with your police department, and it's not the same police department that existed when this was drafted. So no, we have not had to use that.
That's good.
Finally, or also, I guess, the tree board. I gave them direction 2 months ago about moving forward to try to obtain Tree City USA status. There's four criteria. We already meet three of those criteria. It's really our Arbor Day proclamation, which is easy enough. The mayor's done it in the past, and we'll do it again. And then we have to have, I call it an Arbor Day event, but it does not have to be on Arbor Day, but it has to be an Arbor Day-like event. The tree board had some very good ideas on things we might do and is willing to take the lead and coordinate that educational event. It doesn't specifically fall in there what they're required to do, but it does fall in the, I guess, proactive advisement or suggestions to council. One of the suggestions they had for an activity was contacting Mark Vitosh. I don't know if any of you know Mark. He works for the Johnson County Conservation Board. Mark is he is easy to engage. He's very knowledgeable on all things nature. He's genuinely a great guy who does his job well. The board, if after following those discussions, the board reached out to him today to see, just preliminarily touch base with him. And he was very excited about it. What the board is envisioning, unless there's objection from the council, is Mark will come in and lead a tree walk on the existing Swisher Track Trail. I'm not sure what the time commitment on that will be, but where he goes through, and you know, I don't know whether he'll identify invasive species or poison ivy or oaks and elm, or, you know, oaks and locusts. I don't know. Mark will do a better job than I could try to put it together, but he's very excited about it. I think that it'll be good. I think that not only will you have community members participate in it, but you will have people from Master Gardeners, or I think this will be a good thing. I think it will generate interest beyond the community, and it will make people even that much more aware of what we want to do at Swisher Track. So again, unless somebody on council has a strong objection to it, that is tentatively planned for May 23rd at 10 a.m. He has already penciled it in on his schedule. I told him that I would, or I communicated to him that I would put it before council today, just again to make sure that somebody else didn't have some other idea that they wanted to pursue. So just know that's going forward. I don't hear anybody saying that's a bad idea. Somewhat related to the tree board, but a little bit different, is I had nothing to do with the tree board, but the city does winter pruning every year. We have worked with Virginia to do that and her company prior to us. I contacted her. We had a communication last month, and I contacted her today and authorized her to go ahead and do winter pruning as she has done in the past. So you should see that happening hopefully yet this month. And that's all I really need to talk to. I have a potential agenda issue for February, but I can talk to the mayor about that later. Any questions?
Maybe. So you said May 24th?
May 23rd at 3rd 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. And then just kind of meeting City Hall. And
it hasn't been determined yet. He locked those times out, but that would make sense, is to meet here. What we suggested was a walk along the trail that is currently out there. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you, Troy. Thank you again. Okay, we're going to move to the city clerk report. And Mike, you circulated a report to everyone.
Yep. Really quickly, I did a couple things this month that I don't usually report on. Since there were no building permits issued in January, I gave you the summary of 2025 so that you can see all of the building permits.
I like that a lot.
I mean, you get them every month, but to see them all together, we do report that to the county assessor, who then goes out and reassesses people's homes based on those building plans that we've done. So that helps us with revenue, which will get to the next thing I talk about. Speaking of revenue, I also reported what we collected in parking fines during the last calendar year, which comes in at almost $3,000. So that's... We've done a better job of tracking that, so I can report it. So if we're talking about revenue, I guess the last thing I want to mention is the Legislative Assembly opened yesterday. One of their big topics is going to be property taxes, which is our major funding source. And there are lots of proposals being floated out there for lots of things that could make a big change. As Troy and I were talking beforehand, you know, there is an election year coming in 26. So it'll be real interesting to see if there's actually a lot of action on property tax as much as there is discussion of property tax. But I'll keep an eye on that. And if there's anything to share, Steve also gets all of the League of Cities, who does lobbying on our behalf, gets all of their legislative updates too. And if there's anything to report on that, we'll let you know. So that's
any
it.
Questions for Mike?
Last thing. I do have conflict of interest forms if anybody needs to sign them tonight.
Oh, yeah, be sure and sign before you leave tonight.
Yeah, bar the door. I can print more if we need more.
Because as Steve reported, it has to be turned in today at the first meeting.
Yes.
Thank you for adding that.
Yep.
And then so we'll go to John Brown with the treasurer's report, and you circulated the warrants to everyone.
Yes, I did, Mayor. Thank you.
Are there any additions?
Nothing to add to the list of warrants or to the report.
So the warrants were emailed to everyone. Are there any additions or corrections from council? Are there any objection to paying any of the warrants? Hearing none, the warrants will be paid by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone. And then you sent around a report with all that. I mean, you had.
If you talk about the project, the profit loss budget versus actual, yes. So that is reflects numbers through December. So from July 1, 2025 through December 31st. So that's a solid 6 months of data there for people to use for planning purposes by income category, expense category, and by fund. So.
Any questions for Jim? And okay, we're going to go through the council committees. And first we have Finance Committee and Nick. Do you want to start, or do you want Steve Cool, or?
I'll let Steve go.
Okay, Steve. Welcome, Steve.
Good to be back.
It's great to have you back. Thank you. So you sent around, or had Mike send around the budget process calendar.
Yeah. This
which is up on the board.
Estimated outline for the adoption of the budget for this year. It's basically the same process we've gone through the last, I believe, 2 years. And like Mike mentioned, the state legislature is back to work. I think it was 3 years ago we had to stop and restart because of the property valuations. So all I can say is based on where we're at today, this is the proposed schedule for adopting the budget. Actually, tomorrow, John and I are going to start on the information because the first thing is to determine the proposed tax levy amounts. That information that will be at the February 10th meeting. We'll also be working on the rest of the information for the budget. The budget itself is projected to be the actual budget would be approved April 21st, but then on March 31st, that will be those two special meetings of about 3 minutes long to approve the tax levy rate, and then also to set the adoption of the budget for April. So we will be meeting February 10th with regular council meeting. John will have the information for the tax levies. We have six possible levies altogether. The general levy is set by the state at its maximum amount. And then we have five other levies. One of them, there's debt service. And then there's a couple of employee benefits. And then the transit levy, I believe that was it. So we'll be working on that. At the March 10th meeting, we'll have our big discussion on where we're at with all the information we have and make any more final changes to expenses and other income items. And then also, let's see, the publication of the notice of the public hearing for the proposed property tax levy, that has to be on the city's website. So hopefully Lisa will volunteer to get that on the city's website the same day it appears in paper. And the budget approval process will be all wrapped up by the end of April as usual. This will just have to see where we go to the state. It's going to change anything. No, this process this winter, or what it will be pushed forward to the next budget. So anyway, process is the same as always. You know, as soon as everybody can get their information put together and sent to John and I, we'll meet several times throughout the next 3 months, putting this all together, that was taken care of. So that's about all I wanted to have to say on the budget.
Thank you for putting all that together. So everybody needs to mark their calendars for those dates. This happens every year, and Mike is involved a lot, and Troy and Lisa are getting all these published and ready to go. You won't be at the February meeting, right? Mm-hmm. You won't be here February, but John will report.
Right, yeah.
Then
that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the meetings are spread out in order to get the publication in on the required time frames. So we can't have the final vote for the approval of the tax levy until the county nails out that postcard letter telling me what the rates are for next year. So,
any questions for Steve? Thank you, Steve. And did you have anything to add? Thanks, Nick. Okay, great. We'll go on to community protection, and the chief sent around a report. And so we'll start with the chief and then go to McKenzie, okay?
Okay. I was curious. The two big things, and you guys had the opportunity to meet one of the big things. Is getting Adam Schmierbach on board. Again, he'll start February 2nd. Good human being. I've known him for probably about 15 years now. We're, I think, fortunate to have it. And so the one other thing that I do want to point out is the total amount from the university that came into us from the university, and that was just short of $22,000. So beyond that, I don't have any additions or anything I need to correct on it. So anybody have any questions? Okay.
Thank you. And thanks for bringing Adam to so we could all meet him.
Yep. So that was important.
Very good. So McKenzie, you had an agenda item here.
Yeah, I don't really know if it falls under me or not, but we all were emailed by Katie about summer festival. So I just thought Mike should throw it on and kind of put it out there, see if it's something that council wants to do, if it's something that people have.
Were you able to talk to her?
So I did talk to Katie, and she had mentioned that there was some talk about it. She's obviously really interested from the aspect of being a small business owner and wanting to get something going. Initially, she had not kind of had it on her radar, and one of the bands that she had reached out to in the past had called her and said, hey, we have some dates available this summer. If you guys are doing anything, what does that look like? And so she wanted input from us to see if we were willing to do something. So, well, we thought it could be something.
So she's talking about, you know, she did mention bands in the email.
Yes.
So she's talking about, do you know what kind of bands did she talk to you about?
I don't know what bands are, but she's thinking like hosting, you know, and I would not be her hosting. Like, she would obviously be very involved, but she wants council to consider hosting some type of event that would draw in the community, potentially using lost sales tax if we needed to, or getting donations from people, but then having it be a community event. I kind of imagine something similar to like open house, but having some kid friendly things during the day. Like, you know, like you would host Oktoberfest at your church, but we'd be doing it in the summer parking lot type thing.
So band in the parking lot.
Yes. And then I don't know how that works with noise permits, all that, but I just don't know if it's something like council is interested in doing it, or how you guys all feel about it.
So is that a request for money? Is that what you said?
Well, I mean, I don't know what it would cost. I don't know. It's just kind of in general a thing.
I see.
Is this something that we feel the community would be interested in doing and going from there?
Troy, you've been representative of the OUP, and you know, and could you tell the council, especially McKenzie too, how the OUP is set up and works?
Sure, and Nick could probably speak to some of the contractual document things that cover space, but it is, you know, the first of all, University Heights is a commercial tenant in OUP South. Commercial tenants have certain access rights, control rights, whatever the right words are, to certain space that is out here. Same time, it's shared space, and it's not really a public neighborhood, but it is a neighborhood. So I don't know. I mean, I think the HOA would need to be involved and would need to approve something. I don't know.
You mentioned that they have a meeting on the 20th.
OUP South does, that's correct. Okay. Now it's OUP North and OUP South. It would need to be, I would think. I mean, I don't know. There's just some legalities in that it's space that's open to the public, yet it's private property, but the city has an interest in it. I don't know the specifics on this. Before, Katie and I have talked about various things. I don't know. Is this where bands are saying we'll come in and play for free, or they're saying, you know, before we've had conversations with you and we have open gig time here that we would come in?
I'm not sure. I think it's kind of like, is this something the community would want to do? And then looking at, do we have anything in the budget to do this, or would this strictly be, we're looking for in-kind donations, we want this to just be kind of a community event?
I would feel more comfortable if the HOA was on board first before we even considered it, I guess. If the HOA is saying, no, absolutely not, that this is going to, I know it's going to impact everything from accessibility to noise, to everything. And if on the other hand, they say, man, we think this is a fantastic idea, that it would be, this isn't right, but almost like a neighborhood block party that even then, that the city isn't necessarily the ones putting on the neighborhood block parties. They aren't so much as they are facilitating making them happen. So I think the first place, and there is an HOA meeting, is it the 27th or 29th, something
it's
like
the 20, that. I think, did you reference 20?
The 20th, yeah. There's one on the 20th. It's just, you know, like most larger cities would kind of have like Parks and Rec that would host something like this.
Right.
So there's like this weird...
Well, not only would they have Parks and Rec, but they would have public space.
Right.
For example, not that this helps in the situation, but if the Swisher track was developed and there was pavilion space out there on the Swisher track that was community property, I think that it eliminates some of the... It's just a balancing act, because this is... I don't know how many tenants there are between commercial tenants and private homes that are directly impacted by it. I don't think the city should. I don't think the city should champion the cause so much as if logistically it's put around and there's an interest from this, the majority of this complex, or the HOA that governs it, the board that governs it, and says, yes, we would be willing to be part of this, and how can we help, and how can the city help us? But I think that should happen first before the city says, I don't know. I mean, I think it's okay for the city to say we can help facilitate this happening if the residents, and by residents,
the
I mean,
communities, yeah, that makes there's the input.
Because you have the larger community that you're asking it to be part of that event, or Katie's asking, but you have...
If you're going to have a party, you should ask the host first.
Right. Exactly.
Well, and I think, yeah, no. You know, we think Iowa City started a group that Tim and I were a part of. And that was, I think you might have been at the last meeting of that in here. I remember. But the other Think Iowa City offshoot of kind of visioning. But that was one of the things they really was one of the main things they focused on, is wanting to have more of those things. And I'm not necessarily in the same boat as like Jerry and Katie and Maureen, but I think they have spoken about like just getting more, you know, interest. So this kind of coming, I think, at us from multiple directions. Also, in talking with Kevin Munson in the past about it, like it even came up at our last OUP South meeting when we found out that the wood on our building is kind of rotting. Mm-hmm. And so I think he acknowledged that that space that was kind of thought to be a playground but kind of turned into a dog park might end up being a good place to have more entertainment or something like that. And so I think that was in part a reason why they weren't going to even maybe replace the wood on that fence right now, thinking that that space might be re-envisioned as like a public space, because it is a limited common element for the city, is my understanding from the condo documents. So yeah, I think that's, it's really a question. I appreciate Mackenzie discussing because it's with her, because, you know, I think I'm not necessarily the type of business that's, you know, trying to, you know, host events, but I think for those businesses, they do miss out compared to Iowa City, right? If you're downtown Iowa City, you have public spaces, you have a lot of things that are just happening around you as a business. And so since we don't have that here, we're kind of a segregated in that way. I think like a festival of sorts that would be University Heights thing would be great, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know if that needs to be in the parking lot or over here, or just, you know, block off a street that wouldn't cause emergency, you know, vehicle issues. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely, I didn't really, that group is a little bit dormant, but we had that group was the benches and the street lights group. And the other main thing was, yeah, city, you know, events. And we've had the events down in the space by Stella, but it's not, you know, it's not really, it's not public space, obviously. It's Palmer's, you know, permission that we can use that. But here we have bathrooms, you know, and a little bit more infrastructure, public bathrooms and city space. I know we've talked about who cleans them afterwards, that they're used a lot. But yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in that. It just would be a question of, what the details might look like. So I mean, obviously I'm biased if my wife is bringing something up, I'm going to be for it. But I also think that, yeah, independently, that group that she was not a part of, just residents want more togetherness, more like, hey, what's a way that we can get together and see each other? So yeah, I think there's a lot of momentum, and perhaps the group could even, you know, help out with it. You might be able to kind of resurrect some of those, you know, those people who are interested and get helpers and all that.
I think Tim phrased it, and that's a good way of phrasing it. I don't know that, I don't feel comfortable saying this is city property
right.
without a buy-in from the larger. I would feel more comfortable. I mean, if Katie and Jerry, for example, got together and said, hey, we've got this. I'm not saying this is the way it should happen, but just as an example, Jerry got together and said, hey, we have this patio space outside that is our space. And we're thinking about doing this, and here's the logistics, and we don't want it to just be a Maggie's or a Sidekick. We want it to be a community event. I would feel more, I just would need more details. But that way we are only, yeah, you'd still have the noise, you'd still have the traffic, you'd still have some of those things. But like Paul Moore, whether the city's going to him or not, it's Paul Moore who has permission, clear permission to say, yeah, you can use my space for this, where I, short of the HOA expressing some sort of involvement and interest, I have a hard time. That would be what I would want to see first. And then I would want to see some more details instead of just, I have this idea and I have a band that's willing to play. I run into this with other boards too, where they have good ideas and sometimes money is spent before it's approved to be spent. And anyway, so I just,
right.
Yeah, we can see too. I don't think Trevor mentioned this. The parking in part is a limited common element for the businesses, so including the city. So it would just be the city, the businesses to say, you know, if they wanted to use this space, it'd probably be more of a noise issue at that point.
Right.
Because they would be able to say, you know, yeah, we can use the building. But it would be obviously important to consult with the owners up above here, yeah. The owners over there.
But yeah. And you all may be more familiar than me. I know we have allowed block parties before, but I don't know that we've allowed bands before. I don't know. I just, that whole past practice, I'm not 100%. So
yeah, we routinely do it down there.
Yeah. Okay. We've done it there. And then remember, we've done it in Iowa City at the Tower Court Park.
Right.
We've reserved that
right.
before too for many events.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I would say the reputation is that there's a lot of pushback when people start to do what you're doing. So I think I would encourage you to, I hope you can run with it in terms of brainstorming ideas, because that's what I think a lot of our criticism is like, we are just like, no, you know, like, so I think it's great. I think, but yeah, just be, what are the decisions? Who are the deciders? It might be partially boards.
And I'd certainly be willing, whether it's sitting down with you or sitting down with Katie or the three of us, as far, I would like to see some things more fleshed out from a city admin.
I completely agree. I think I'll probably reach back out to Katie and just say, like, let's get like a vision together and then talk to you.
And it's being discussed now in January. Last time I had, it's been a few years, but it was a little bit later in the year, just trying to navigate through the process. It ended up kind of being a deal breaker in and of itself. So.
Well, I even think, just because I've planned events before too, I even think like now to the summer is also a very short amount of time to try and do this. So is it something where we look at it next year, and then if Swisher Track is opening, is it the grand opening ribbon cutting of that, where we're also hosting a festival type thing?
It's
kind of figuring out what that all looks like. It's my initially when I saw the email, I was like, how would you pull off hosting a festival this summer?
I think too, if you end up meeting, regardless of the timeline, if you need just like people to be involved, I think I submitted it as a report maybe at one point, but the people who were at that meeting, I think Tim, you may remember than I do, but I think there was one where you like mark which
people sign up
thing you wanted to do. And so there's probably a list of people who are like specifically interested in.
There were the bench people and there were the party people.
I think that's right.
Yeah, logistically, I would like to see it.
an actual plan.
Well, and kind of an HOA event or an HOA, you know, as opposed to a city event that we're going to hold in your house, or like the HOA and Katie and are willing to do it, and how can the city help us? I would be more interested. I'd be more comfortable, I guess, looking at it. But in the end, it's not my fault. But that's from a logistical standpoint. Katie is part of this organization. Sidekick is part of this organization as far as OVP, and that's what we're talking about having it.
I just kind of saw the email and was like, yeah, maybe we should chat that one out.
Yeah, I think it's great that somebody she reached out to in the past is contacting her in advance too, because it did just kind of, it ran its course time-wise last time.
And I want to bring up one more thing. What would this say to Maggie's in the hotel? Should we have a conversation with them so they don't feel slighted?
Well, and that's also part of what I'm thinking about.
You mean Stella, not the...
Or did I say... Sorry, Stella's in the hotel.
And I didn't voice that consideration, but that is also one of the things that I'm thinking of, whether it's
spending city money. I mean, it's...
Or if I mean, I'll pick on the courtyard just because they have the big open parking lot. If they were to say, hey, we want to have some outdoor band and festival down here, and we will invite the community to it too. I want to make sure, kind of like this community space, that we don't set ourselves up for subjectively saying, yeah, we like you and we don't like you.
That's my concern. Just
yeah, I mean, last time we had an event, it was down at Paul Moore Space. And so like Stella was, you know, definitely in on that. And there was a good partnership there. So
yeah
I would.
And Maggie's was still able to come down with her.
Yeah, Maggie's came down. Yeah, I think it.
Sorry.
I wasn't
there for that. I don't think the city.
Hey, no, that was like the food pantry in Damiano.
I don't know.
It sounds like you're talking about city money here, where we've done.
I don't know for sure that.
Yeah, I don't wait and see, but
right.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to institutionalize some
that cost next to nothing, or
well, and
or
I think
was
that,
donated.
Well, the other thing is like, if it is like a block party festival thing, you know, are you charging people to come? Because I know like. Down Iowa City downtown block party, you pay to then attend that. So I don't know how that came. I don't know what that all looks like if you're offsetting costs because you're charging people to come, or if it is just like I said earlier, in kind thing. I don't know. I just threw it out there because we got the email and
that's good.
Figured it was something to chat about.
Yeah. Well, if Katie's doing more than just saying, here's an idea, Ron, if she's wanted to be part of it, wanted to sit down and want to work on it.
Does.
Then I guess just let me know.
Okay. I'll follow up with her. I also had just a couple things. I didn't add them to the things, but I wanted to follow up just because I'm like the newbie on a couple of the things from prior to me being on council with the crosswalk. I know that somebody's got that on their agenda with stuff. But I know Stephanie was helping with that. Do I need to do anything from my perspective? You got it all. No. Okay. And then
I'm glad you brought that up. I noticed driving by the other one that's by a horn seems to be flashing the time. I don't know if it ever shut. Do you drive by there?
The one that's on Benton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember you had mentioned like, well, if they flash all the time, it kind of takes away the impact of it. That one is, of them seems to flash all the time.
That's not a crossing sign so much as a
school zone
warning.
But you know what I'm talking about? They have new signs, two of them that have blinking. Do you know what I'm talking? Does anybody know?
I have not
seen. Yeah, but it's between certain hours, like school.
And they,
right?
Like they blink the whole time
or something. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
So it used
to. It's school zone speed limit is this.
Yeah,
this is
what it was signs. Actually a crosswalk. I think they're like what we're trying to do.
No,
I haven't.
I'll show you.
I haven't seen the new ones. I believe those are ones they, you know, the signs used to typically read 20 miles an hour, whatever it is, when children are present, and they have the kind of the change has been, or you see in some communities now where it's 20 miles an hour when the, you know, school zone speed limits when this light is flashing and otherwise. So I don't know what that is exactly.
There's some calls. We'll get over there somehow.
Okay.
Right, but there's some Benton crosswalk lights, and I'm curious to know if they're similar to what we want to do.
I I doubt it, but Ryan can talk to that. Ours are very, very high intensity strobes that come on when you push the button across, and they flash for a designated amount of time and then they go off. So if they are flashing, it's not like a motorist gets used to seeing them and disregards them. If they're flashing, there's somebody there.
Yeah. No, that's why I asked if that would, in a sense, erode the, oh, you know, how much people would notice ours if theirs is flashing.
The last time I went down Benton, just a few days ago, there was somebody with a flashing sign, you know, like crossing guard going across. So
yeah, they have a crossing
guard. Maybe that's further.
Yeah, at that.
And then my last follow-up was at the, like, community event thing that we have. We could give feedback about streetlights, but that would be on you, right? You, Doug, you would be handling streetlights and things like that. Or did anything ever come out about streetlights and the vote on those?
Staff is still working on that as far as what we're going to put in. That has not been determined.
That's been decided.
Yeah.
Okay.
The new decorative streetlights you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Happening post the whole Melrose stuff, or is that happening prior to that?
It'd be in that project or work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can talk for
that. Those were my only follow-up things that I was like.
These are good follow-up things.
No.
Because I think it seems like it's time where you have to start making that decision, right? In terms of the design is going to impact where how far the light goes. And
yeah, there's several questions we need to get finalized, and think several things that Paul Moore has on his list of, I want to know what these are going to be kind of things. So I'm going to, similar to Troy, kind of over the, well, I had a baby just before Thanksgiving, and then over Christmas, I didn't really advance a lot of these things over the last 6 weeks, probably. So the next 2 or 3 weeks, people are probably going to be seeing a lot of emails from me. I'll be following up with this.
Okay, it's like my own. I don't want to be out of the loop or feel like I missed something, but it just was like, no. Okay, this was on her too, so sounds good.
And it sounds like people are talking to you too. That's good.
Well, like I said, I'm always walking around.
I like it.
And people chat.
That's great. So. I can see. Thank you. Okay, so and you had the last. That was the last thing.
Yes.
Didn't have anything else.
No, I'm good.
I didn't want to cut you short.
Were you scared or warned?
I didn't.
What?
Okay.
The warrant.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay.
No, we didn't. They were approved. Okay.
Maybe we didn't approve.
I heard.
Okay, so we'll now go to streets and sidewalks and Ryan and Doug. And so, Ryan, you sent around a report. Did you want to start? When you send the report, it's kind of easy to maybe go to you first.
Yeah,
agenda item too.
Right, and I'll probably end with that resolution item. Just so I'll get through or sub first, but I don't have a whole lot. I had just some pretty short updates to several different items. The one thing I did want to maybe just touch on and just bring more attention to is underneath miscellaneous items in my report, and that has to do with. There's two things. One of them is the DOT street inventory map update. We do that every year and then send them updates. That's not a big deal. It's not usually a whole lot of changes. The other item, though, the second item is DOT Systems Planning Bureau reached out about 2026 traffic count program. So I gave them some information, and I just want to let council know that they are in the southeast quadrant of the state for 2026, and they'll be performing traffic counts. And we did notify them that a request that those counts be done in University Heights during school for University of Iowa. So that they reflect sort of the more major traffic situations for that information feedback. So the main item is the RRFBs that McKenzie was asking about. So the RRFBs at Sunset and Oakcrest, we sent those out for a bid, put a plan together last month and sent those out for bids or quotations. We had 4 quotations returned just before Christmas, and our
Let's see, so our low quote was from New Miller Electric, and that included the base quote and alternate quote. They were lowest. We had a range kind of from that $20,000 to $30,000 mark across the four bidders, pretty much spread out by $4,000 a piece. So pretty good results there. The resolution tonight, there's two separate resolutions written up. One is to utilize the alternate quote, and one is to not utilize the alternate quote. And in case my report was confusing to anyone, the base idea is that the base quote is for the cheaper option of model for the RRFB push button. And where we got that from was engaging the company and having them do a solar report on the location. And they told us, hey, you could use our cheapest model. But the biggest concern there is that that model has the batteries housed in the solar panel, which is on top of the pole, which is 14 feet in the air. And so we don't want staff potentially in the future necessarily to be trying to access that to swap the batteries out. So we did a bid alternate, and that bid alternate was for sort of the third tier of their models, and just to see what that price difference would be. And so that's all the differences in the bid alternate. All the other work is the same. It's just a different model for putting up on the pole. And so the bid alternate model has a larger solar panel and a slightly larger battery, like an 18 amp hour battery instead of a 14 amp hour battery, things like that. But the major difference is that it would have a cabinet on the side of it that would house the battery system. So they could be replaced off from standing on the ground in the future. So the base quote was $20,972 even. And then the alternate quote was $22,272. So speaking with Chief Akers and Troy and Mayor Fromm, I think everybody's leaning towards, including myself, the bid alternate number one model. We're recommending to council, but of course it's up to council to decide which model you think you'd prefer.
$1,000, I'm not climbing 16 feet.
Yeah, I make a motion to approve resolution number 2604 with alternate quotation work. Did I say that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Tim. I like to call it RRFB. Everything has a...
an acronym, yeah.
The RRFB sign. Okay. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swims.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Herbal.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Carry 5-0.
Thank you.
Yeah, so there's two other sort of cost, future cost things. City of Iowa City is going to require us a right-of-way permit, which I believe is like $150, because one of these poles is in City of Iowa City's jurisdiction. So,
sorry.
It is real life, but that's just the way it works.
This would be done hopefully by
the end of spring break. The contractor's only concern is the lead times for the poles and for the equipment to show up. So he submitted last night to me the equipment. I was fairly confident we'd be going with the alternate. So I asked him to go ahead and pull that together from his supplier. So we'll get that reviewed in return and hopefully be as fast as we can be with getting it ordered. So, yeah.
So what kind of work does that have?
I guess off the top of my head, I don't know. On the actual flashing beacons.
And then the maintenance is like once every.
Well, from our discussions with North Liberty, they told me that they replace batteries every 3 or 4 years, something like that. I don't know exactly what the cost of the batteries are. The product, this manufacturer has it's a cloud-based app, I think is essentially what you call it. It's 3 years for free out of the box. I confirmed with them, with their product reps, that you do not have to keep paying for that afterwards. So otherwise, it's like $80 for the lowest model of that cloud-based service. And that's just remote control. And so you can see some feedback data, but you don't need that. So in our instance, I wanted to make sure that there wouldn't be some sort of like permanent, you know, annual subscription.
Cell phone tower service.
Yeah.
Talk to the.
Yeah. So if you decide not to do that, there's an app that you use, but it has Bluetooth. So my understanding is you just have to be within connectivity, like within range for it to speak to the controller. So, other than that, it would be battery replacement, you know, moving forward. So, and then, yeah, so I guess those are probably the two things, the right of way permit and then the potential annual fee for that cloud-based app service if the city chose to do that 4 years out from now. So,
and it's wonderful that it's below the estimate that Shive Hattery was about 25,000. It's nice that it's less than that, under budget. But I do have to add that I know the students, I've heard from many parents, students, they're going to miss our crossing guard, the chief and the police. He is by far extremely popular there. And it's wonderful to see him there. It's going to be missed. Thank you for doing all that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I couldn't get him out of there before the end of winter, but. It might be warmer by the time we get here. One thing, I guess, Mackenzie asked, I mean, when I met with MPO, they mentioned that, so the RRFBs, this is not a traffic signal, right? So, and there's no legal obligation for a vehicle to stop, okay? It's a warning flashing symbol. And other than if there's a pedestrian in the crosswalk already, then you, state law is you have to yield. The MPO suggested that we do some potential outreach with Horn Elementary to help them educate the students on how to utilize these, because it's a push button activated system and then the lights come on. It is not on a timer where the lights just continue flashing during school, you know, arrival and exit times.
So Chief and I have talked about this, at least initially. I think the people that need to be trained are the people that are using it, and the chief has said that they will continue to staff that for some period of transition until they're comfortable that they did it. It's the students, the kids in particular, know how to use it.
Excellent. That's good.
Do you want me to reach out to anyone at Horn and just give them the heads up that it's being installed and that the police are?
And it wouldn't be bad to communicate once it is installed, I guess. I don't know that, I don't know how large the classes are. I don't know that it does any good to do school-wide training, but yeah, right, if they're aware of it.
Maybe just, let them know that it's installed.
Anything else?
Can we say it's got a speed camera in it?
I was contacted by the state. Those signs had to come down.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah,
do you have anything else, Doug, that you wanted to add?
I think we went over it pretty good.
That's great. Thank you. We'll go on to building, zoning, and sanitation. Tim?
No report. Okay. And the last Thank Iowa City meeting was their holiday social, so nothing to report from that.
Okay, any questions for Tim? And we'll go on to e-government. Lisa, you sent out a nice report. And why don't you just announce to the public a few of the dates for maybe Christmas tree picked up and some.
This morning was one.
One today.
And January 27th for their natural Christmas trees to be picked up at no charge curb summit.
Oh, John.
Sorry, a question from the public. What if you have like a natural wreath but not a tree? Can you fill that out for Christmas tree picker?
If you try it. I guess I don't. It doesn't have any wire.
I could send a text and see too for you.
You think as long as it's compostable.
If they see it and it registers, then it's not a tree. We're not picking.
Kind of seems like it'd be okay if it doesn't have wires.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a big one.
Yeah. Was,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I have a big one, but it's fake. So I'm not putting it out. Thank you. And anything else? Any questions for Lisa? Thank you, Lisa. And announcements? Any announcements? Yes.
Just to make sure everybody has on their calendars. Special meetings not in our regular schedule will be January 27th, March 31st, April 21st. And as far as we know, those are all at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Mike.
And I'll hear.
Here.
Yeah. And is there any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone.